This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. You're listening to B. Mitchell Finley. He's an NFL legend. What up, B?
What's up, brother? What's happening with
you? I'm a happy cat today, man.
You are?
Yeah. You know that I'm a Rory stan. I don't hide that.
Yep.
I root for that dude. I'm really happy he was completing the career grand slam is a really big deal. There's six people
it is.
Ever.
Nah, totally.
And I'm just really happy he got that done. I'm really happy he was able to win his first Masters. But perhaps more than that, I am really happy he didn't collapse it all away. Like, there was a real period of time where it looked like he might.
Yeah, you know, whenever you see any pro get a 7 on a par 5, it's a problem. You know, and he laid it up to what, 120?
I think it was less than that.
And then dunked it.
On 13?
Right in the
I think
in
it was 85
water.
Yards out.
Yeah, come on, man. You can't miss that shot. Well, but listen, what it tells you, pressure is real, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you go to Bryson. Bryson had everything flowing after the third round and into this one, and then all of a sudden, Bryson started to have some pressure, you know. And I think him playing up to the fans so much, that pressure comes back to bite you sometimes, dog.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I'm not. I don't say this begrudgingly, but like Bryson, even. What is now, like, a very positive, just seems so insincere with so much of this stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, I got to meet him and hang out with him, and he was really nice and cool, and I still felt like it was insincere. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Where, and then I think he's trying to kind of jam up Rory with some of that when they're going head-to-head. And
he was trying to get the patrons on his side.
Right.
And, listen, man, that I tell you, I've been at the out there at different tournaments. When they start roaring, it bothers you. But those two were together. You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
You think about when Tiger was at his peak. Tiger would finish the hole, and the people start moving to the next hole.
Right.
They didn't give a damn that you had to putt.
Right.
They didn't care nothing about you. And I think that is what Bryson tried to play up. And he came out. Rory had the double. Boom, they even at this point. But he able to right the ship. But I said, Rose is always there early. He came back.
Dude.
I got to give him some credit.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, so impressive. I thought Åberg would make a run and kind of just fell. I mean, him on 18, dog. Like, I've been there where you just go from one bunker to the next back and forth.
Uh-huh.
That was painful, man.
Watching that tournament on Saturday, you are a pro golfer and you hit the ball 320. 315, and Rory's 40 yards ahead of you. That has to be demoralizing.
You know, on the playoff hole?
Well, no, I'm talking about with Connors on Saturday.
Yeah.
Rory, not that big of a dude. This dude, not, and all every shot he hit out of the trees, everybody talking about you got to punch it out and go, he went over the top of the trees to the green and didn't miss one of them. He had some bad shots, but he had some hella shots. Well, they made it interesting.
The wedge on 13 was god awful. Mm-hmm. You're 85 yards out, you dunk it in the creek.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
awful.
Part of me wonders, as Bryson fell apart down the stretch.
Did he get too relaxed?
Well, dude, Rory, if you look at 13, Rory went to the 13th tee with a 4-stroke lead. And at that point, his playing partner, he was up 7 on him.
Uh-huh.
Like, all of a sudden, he was at 13 under. DeChambeau's at 6.
Yeah.
Like, I just wonder if that impacted his brain and was like, all right, I'm going to play it safe. Because playing it safe is just not who Rory is. Yeah. Like, not going for a green in 2 is very...
Well, I don't know if he could have gotten there in 2 based off of his drive.
Right.
But once you lay up to 85 in, you don't miss a green.
No.
Especially pros.
Right.
I probably won't miss a green 85 in, probably the Masters I would.
And then he did, right? And, I mean, I literally was like, oh, my God. I, like, freaked out. I was watching with Lauren and
you
the girls.
You and a million people around this world
totally. And, but then he gets, dude, he's trailing. You know what I mean? Like, by the time he gets to 17, he's trailing. But the shot on 15 to go for it in 2, that 7-iron that he had to curl around a tree that he puts to 10 feet after he'd had the double at 15 earlier in the week, I just thought that was the guts that shot takes,
you
man.
Need it.
Yeah, I mean, the guts.
But, I like, the stories that are written are never written just, oh, he goes out and just walks away with it. There right. has to be some stumble in it. And some bad things, and then somebody else played great. Hell, Rose was -6 yesterday. You have to have a little bit of that to make the story even better. Let's think if Rory just runs away with it, you know, yeah, okay, cool. But the extra stuff made it a little better down the stretch. Made it more interesting.
The television drama of it all was incredibly compelling. You couldn't. It's funny, I was talking to Valdez for a minute, and obviously Valdez is a big golfer and was watching yesterday, and he said something. I'm sure your phone was going crazy, text threads and all mm-hmm. this stuff. It is crazy to me the amount of people that root for the choke.
Because like, people are just, losers, man. Normally, most people are losers, and they don't want to see nobody else do anything good. They look, the people that run around the world just, that's shot you're talking about right there.
Yeah, dude.
People run around the world, oh, I want them to fail, I want them to fail. Just losers, straight up. Ass losers.
Yeah, if you look, listen, if that had gone differently yesterday and Rose won it, I would have felt for Rory, but I'd still be happy for Rose. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That dude has now lost 2 playoffs in Augusta. Think about how heartbreaking but that is for
he
him.
He was leading the first 2 days.
Did you see that stat that. They showed? So, for many years, Greg Norman, this is not a lead you want to own, right? Uh-huh. Greg Norman had the lead of most rounds finished as the leader at Augusta without winning it.
Uh-huh.
He had 6. Justin Rose now has 11.
Damn. But I'm saying, like, I would see him. So, Don, you remember my buddy Don Wallace?
Sure, yeah, yeah.
So I said, Don, I said, man, damn, them Sunday pin plays was so tough. He said, to be honest with you, B, we make Thursday, Friday tougher because we're trying to get the better golfers to the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, bro. I look at those pin plays. There's no damn way Thursday, Friday is easier. But it's like they say they make it tougher Thursday, Friday to get the trash up out of there.
Yeah, I get that.
But on those pin players on Sunday, don't they look tougher? They look a lot tougher to me.
16, the little par 3, that the flag is always famously down at the bottom of that bowl.
Yeah.
And, I mean, probably until 15, actually maybe still, the most memorable shot to me of my life, the shot I remember most, was when Tiger chipped in on 16.
Okay.
Remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In your life when the ball.
For the man to even think of that damn shot right there.
Right.
That says a lot.
The Nike logo hung up on the lid.
They couldn't have scripted it better.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that's always where that 16th pin is. Where the flag was yesterday was hard as hell. It was like top right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that on the broadcast, I believe they said it was a tribute to Jack. 50 years ago, Jack won it, and that's where the flag was or something. It was hard.
If I'm the good, I'm going to play him and say, look, y'all could just tell Jack, thank you for winning 50 years ago. You don't need to put that pin in that place.
yeah. Just,
but we got to suffer because of Jack.
Send him a banner.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It was for Rory, I mean, the types of numbers on this thing, like, nobody had, he had 30 threes on his scorecard between 4 days. 30 of them. Nobody's ever done that.
Damn.
But nobody's.
Nobody's ever won after having two double bogeys either on their scorecard.
I think he had five.
Yeah. Because they were saying it
he
before
had
the tournament.
Two day one.
He had two.
He had two yesterday.
Yeah. And he had, I think, Saturday he had one or two.
I don't.
Because they were like, they were talking before, they say, no one has ever won the Masters with double bogeys on their card. And then, boom, he come up with multiples.
He had six double bogeys.
All of those threes help you out, though, dog.
Dude, I mean, here's how you do it. Four eagles, 25 birdies. I mean, that's what, 8 plus 25 is 33? So he's 33 under there. Mm-hmm. And then seven bogeys gets him to 26. Six doubles is crazy. 26 minus 12, 14 under, right? Is that what he ultimately came home at?
No, he's minus 12, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, clearly I messed up.
Yeah, you messed up some,
somewhere.
The three eagles and the 25 birdies is 31, not 33.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. No, it's four eagles.
Four eagles.
War eagles.
You said three at first, though.
Four times two is 8 plus 25 is 33.
Yeah, 33.
And then 33, I'm going to get this right now. 33 minus 7 is 26, right?
Go ahead.
And then six double bogeys is 12. 26 minus 12 is 14. Right?
He wasn't 14 under, though, was he? Yeah, he was minus 11, minus 11 or something like that.
I'm pulling it up. Yeah, he was minus 11.
Somewhere you're missing something.
Something's not mathing. Well, one of them is the birdie on the playoff hole doesn't count.
That doesn't count at all.
But it still counts towards. You know what? I get it, I suppose. I think it'd be cooler if the final leaderboard doesn't look like McIlroy and Rose were
tied. Yeah.
You know what I'm like? I just think they should change that. Augusta's just the best. For Rory, a dude that is from Northern Ireland, that's from that part of the world, to say this is the best golf tournament in the world, and he said, he's like, I know I'm going to piss some people off back home by saying that. Uh-huh. I think he's just telling the truth.
But just remember, this is the same course every year, okay? And you have to have played this course to win it. Nobody walks up normally and just play this course very good and win. If you play
did Tiger win it in his debut?
No, I don't think he did. No.
He probably played it as an amateur, too.
Yeah,
because he played it.
Yeah, he had played, but like you got to play this course to learn the nooks and the crannies of it. But all these, in the British, Open Championship, it's all over the place. They have different places.
Right.
The U.S. Open, same thing. You know, that is the same course every year. And it challenges the hell out of those players. You know, you get everybody out there, you go to the Masters, think, oh, we're going to overpower the course. Mm-mm. It will get you in the
good
end.
Good luck.
You know, and I love when it rains down there sometimes. Fairway might be wet. Green is hard. But those sub pumps they have under the, they got that at Congressional as well, where you can make the green hard still when it's wet conditions.
Sure.
Hell of a play, though.
I was probably, frankly, too emotionally invested yesterday. Like, I'm not playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I root for that dude, and incredibly emotional, I think, for when you see him start to cry and then he holds his little girl. It was just.
Did you cry, Jay? Tell the truth.
I did not.
Tell the truth, Jay.
I'm telling you.
You're basically trying to tell us you were choked up and stuff.
I didn't.
You were up there with old snot rag.
No.
I
was going to call you, but I knew you were at the appearance and I figured you had stuff going on. Danny called me. Danny Frank called me.
He was crying?
He thought I would be. I was oddly, and this is not a state I'm often in, Brian, mm-hmm. I was oddly calm. Like, I had been screaming at various moments. I'm sitting on my porch with the girls. Girls are kind of paying attention, kind of doing their own thing, whatever. But how about this, B? So I had to do the Allcast yesterday, which ended up being an awesome game. Bub Carrington hits that shot. It was phenomenal, right? And I got to hang with Buck Hanson Patsos. Like,
yeah.
Nobody on the planet's complaining about that couple hours of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I get home. He's on the fifth hole, right? That's when I locked in to sit in the chair and watch. And it was 4 o'clock. It was too early for vodka.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm drinking Surfsides. And I had, have you seen those green Jordans I had on? I have. They're like kind of Masters green, low ones, whatever. But they hurt my feet. I don't know why. I feel like the left shoe of that is inaccurately sized or something.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
But I'm sitting down. I'm still dressed from work, and I'm having Surfsides, and things are going well. So I'm like, all right, I'm not going to switch it up. By the time Rory gets to like 16, my left foot is throbbing, and somehow I think it's relevant that I keep these shoes on because Rory is winning. And if I take them off, it's going to impact the golf.
You really were thinking
700 miles away.
You like most fans in the world, though. That's what they think. They think they make a difference.
Dog, and then he misses the putt to win it in regulation on 18. And I said, you know what? I make no impact on this. And I finally took my shoes off and my foot stopped hurting.
You know what, JP? I could have told you that before you took them off.
I also just ran out of Surfside, so then I went to vodka. But I don't know, man. That one, does any part of you think now that kind of that weight is off his back, Rory just goes ham on some other majors?
I think it's about time he goes now, but you look at him this year. He, what was it? Did he say he changed his, I can't remember if it was the putter or something he changed.
Probably,
and
yeah.
All of a sudden, he goes to Pebble, wins. You want another. Now he's here and he won the Masters when he hadn't won before. Sometimes you get over that hump. You know, if he could go, start swinging freely and just get a, because he has a tendency to push that thing to the right. If he can stop that, then he'll be all right.
I liked he owned that he was lucky. He's like, yeah, man, I got lucky in a couple spots. Every time I was in the trees, I could get out.
Luck happens most times. Think about when people go on these years and win Super Bowls. Hell, last year with the Commanders going to the championship game, a lot of luck. A lot of things happen along the way for you.
The field goal bounced in to win in Tampa.
There you go.
Or the Hail Mary.
You know, all those things, man, the luck happens. But the thing I like about Rory – Bryson has done everything under the sun, physics, and he took the stuff to get big, and then he got skinny. Everything to try to become a long driver. That's naturally what Rory does.
Yeah.
If he, and I mean, he is accurate with that damn driver, but then he'll get relaxed and he push that thing. If he hits fairways, it's going to be hard to beat him.
For sure. Landfill, that's such a good line. So for every segment of the program, Landfill gives us a title, or sometimes it's a question, whatever it is. And for the 10 a.m. segment, Landfill wrote, despite his best efforts, Rory wins the Masters. Very, very accurate. I read something this morning from Sports Illustrated, really good writer. I wish I had his name readily available. He said, Sunday's round at the Masters was a thin line between art and obscenity. Like, that was a wild, wild ride.
But that is a golf game. Think about it, man. You go out like, on a golf course, like I've been trying to tell Jeff. I say, he's taking lessons. I say, you'll get worse before you get better.
Yeah, dude.
Jeff's like, oh, I got it. I know this. I say, all right. When we go out there, we're going to see. You can be, golf has been, when I shot my absolute best round ever, the next day from the same course, one up, I shot 90 something after that. So it is though that one game that would demoralize your ass.
Totally.
Point blank.
Waves at the beach, man. Comes and goes. The next major is the PGA at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, where Rory has won 4 times.
Oh, yeah. He can destroy that.
And it's a bomber's course.
Hell.
So it's going to be.
He might go and get it back to back to back. You never know.
Got my support, man. I just, regardless now, it's similar. I was thinking about this.
He almost did it to himself again, Bryson told him, though.
I know. Of the last month, right? In the last month, the things I would have liked to read John Feinstein's work.
Mm-hmm.
First, you know what I would have loved, B? I would have loved to read a Feinstein column.
After, Ovi?
Ovechkin, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Willard's departure and how that was all handled. Mm-hmm. I would have loved to read John on that. And
then, John might have quoted you on that. You were on fire for that one, dog.
And then, well, I got to talk to Buzz Williams yesterday. Support him.
Way to go, Buzz.
John yesterday, writing a column after that, would have just been phenomenal. So I hope Feinstein enjoyed that upstairs. What a incredible Masters. Congratulations to Rory McIlroy. We come back. Steve Sands on boots on the ground in Augusta from Golf Channel. Sands, he's going to join us next. Mark Zuckerman at 11:30. Going to talk about the Nats. Talk about kind of where James Wood belongs and what kind of conversations do we need to be having about that young man. Steve Wino with the Caps update. None of us probably want to hear. Barry Svrluga at 1 o'clock. As excellent as Rory McIlroy was yesterday to get the job done, it was a constant roller coaster, volatility. If you want the opposite experience, if you want a stress-free home buying experience, you need to call our friend John Leahy.
Just like Marilyn. Marilyn needed to sell her Greenbelt property because she was relocating for a job. Unfortunately, her condo didn't qualify for FHA, which ruled out several potential buyers who absolutely loved the unit. But she had no reason to fear, as John Leahy and the Fine Living Group contacted a past client who was looking for an investment property. Even better, that buyer paid cash for $2,000 over the asking price. If you're looking to sell, take advantage of John Leahy and the Fine Living Group's guaranteed offer. Start by finding out what your home is worth in only 30 seconds at johnsellsdmv.com. We're talking about our friend, John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized to your needs, and he knows that life happens, and if needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
2 G's over asking and all cash?
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious business right there. But let's say you're considering selling your house. You just don't know if you want to or what you'll get for it. There's a tool on Leahy's website. You just go to John Sells Homes, and then you click on the home valuation tool. It's going to take care of you. It's going to give you pretty damn close to exact number on the equity you're sitting on. Then you talk to John, figure out if you want to sell it, and go from there. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, just Google John Leahy Group and start packing. Bentley 1067, the fan.
When I woke up this morning, could have sworn it was Judgment Day.
B, I was in a golf pool in my neighborhood. I had Rory, and I still didn't win.
Damn. Jeff had Rory and Bryson.
Yeah, we got to go through ours. But right now, we got to get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Talk to our friend, Mr. Steve Sands. Steve, what's up, dude? Thanks for making time for us.
You guys going to interrupt Prince to talk golf? Come on, man.
Hey, they know that's my favorite song right there, man.
That is good.
Steve, how good was it, the tournament down the stretch, being there?
I'll tell you what, Brian. It was a great week. Masters week is always special. Everybody knows that. But last week had a little bit of an extra feel to it, a little extra juice to it. Rory trying to win the career Grand Slam, Bryson getting in the mix. Those are the two most popular players in the sport, and it was just an awesome, awesome time. And yesterday was some kind of roller coaster, man. Wow.
It was it had to be wild. What do you think this does for Rory that he no longer has to deal with the questions and the conversation and just what does it mean for him? Obviously, yesterday's emotional, but he's kind of reacting in the moment. I'm curious how it impacts his life.
By the way, I had Rory in my golf pool and didn't win it either.
How the hell does that happen?
Because you have to take three players, and I took two guys who did zero, and one guy who won it, so the total didn't add up to what we were looking for. There's two ways of looking at it, JP. A lot of people have won a major. David Duval, an 0-1 at the Open. Oh, here we go. He's going to win a bunch. Justin Thomas is going to win a bunch. Jason Day, 1-15 at the PGA, going to win a bunch. Justin Leonard, Davis Love, Fred Couples. There's a lot of great, great, great players, Hall of Fame players, who have won one major, and then that was it. And the reason it's so difficult to win these majors is because they only happen four times a year. And you yeah. have to be playing well going into these types of things. And if you're not, then you pretty much can be written off that week. So I think this opens him up and freaks him up, and the burden is lifted, and that heavy weight is no longer there. And I think he goes on to some serious, serious stuff here over the next few years. Remember, he's only 35. It's not like he's 42 and he waited his whole life for it. It seems like he waited his whole life for it,
right.
But he's only 35. So now let's see what happens. The next major championship, JP and Brian, next month is at Quail Hollow.
Yeah.
In Charlotte.
He's won a lot there, huh?
He's won there twice. He loves that golf course. So, you know, if he can get refocused, which I know he can, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with Rory now that that burden of the Masters, the burden of the career Grand Slam has been lifted off his shoulders. You could see a freedom there that we haven't seen in quite some time with McIlroy.
The wedge shot he dunked into the water, that's pressure or that's just a mishit?
Both. I think that, you know, the layup was the correct thing to do in the situation. That was the play. It was conservative. That's the way you're supposed to play it at that point, and at that point in the tournament and on that golf course. That's how Jack and Tiger won 6 and 5 of those Masters.
Uh-huh.
So Rory's laying up, Brian, was the correct thing to do. The wedge he hit looked like the three of us. I mean, that was really bad. That was a big, big mistake, and it almost cost him the tournament. But he was able to recover. His resiliency, his perseverance are pretty strong. But the decision to lay up was good, Brian, but the shot he hit was horrendous.
Yes.
The shot he hit with the wedge he hit on 18 in regulation was horrendous after a great drive, you know, and he had a chance to close it out with a 4 and couldn't do it. And that's because of that wedge, just like that wedge on 13.
And then to hit the shot in the playoff was basically the same shot, and he puts it to 3.5 feet or whatever.
Same shot, same club. I mean, look, JP, you and I dreamed of being Brian Mitchell one day and playing professional sports.
Sure.
Rory, you know, I don't really know exactly what's going on in that moment the way Brian does, the way Rory does, all these great players who play professional sports. But for him to be able to – by the way, he didn't have the honor in the playoff. Justin Rose dictated the action, if you remember.
Yeah.
After a bogey at 18 to not win the Masters and not win the career Grand Slam, Rory had to go right back. He didn't dictate the action. Justin Rose did. Hit a great drive down the middle, and then that meant that Rose was putting pressure on Rory. Mm-hmm. And Rory stepped up, hit a great drive, and then he had the exact same yardage and the exact same club that he had just hit 15 minutes earlier into the bunker right. And he came up money, hit the slope, hit it to about 3, 3.5, maybe 4 feet, and made the putt. I mean, my gosh, to be able to clear your mind, to be able to clear your body and erase what just had happened with the same exact club from the same yardage on the same hole, that's a money, money wedge he just hit there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, man. Steve, in your work with the Golf Channel, you're at every major. You're at most tournaments. Do you remember one as wild as this entire 4 days and certainly yesterday?
No, not in recent memory. I mean, in 19, it was pretty wild because Tiger was in the final group. Molinari had just won the Open Championship, playing in the final group with Tiger at Carnoustie in 2018 in the year's previous major. And, you know, he looked like he was cruising around and cruising along. And then he dumped it in the water on 12, and so did Xander, and so did Brooks, and so did Tony, and so did Ian, and then Ian Poulter. And then all of a sudden, you know, Tiger hits in the middle of the green on 12, 2 putts for 3, on he went to go win the Masters. So that was a wild day, but this one was wild from the jump. 2-shot lead for McIlroy, career Grand Slam on the line, hits his drive a yard short in the bunker, ends up with a double bogey, doesn't take advantage of the par 5 second. By the way, that was another bad wedge. His third shot after driving it into the bunker,
right?
Twice in a row on 1 and 2. So it was chaos and a car wreck and greatness all from the jump. Whereas in 2019, you know, the craziness didn't happen until the 12th hole. This one was literally from the first tee. And I think this is about as wild a day as we've seen in a long, long time, especially at the Masters.
It was so nuts that he lost the lead on the second hole and then had a 5-stroke lead on the 11th hole.
Yeah,
and then blew that.
But
it was crazy.
They were out there playing around, and Rose was playing great. He ended up shooting -6 yesterday. And he's had a lot of tournaments where I always see him at the front, but when it comes down to the end, he's not there. He was there yesterday. Rory just ended up getting him. But his game, what happened to him on it? Did he fall out? What was it, Friday? Saturday.
Saturday.
You talking about Bryson?
No, Rose.
Oh, Justin Rose. Saturday was his bad day. Yes, yeah. Saturday. Yeah, he played. He slept on the lead, Brian, on Thursday night after a 65, and then he shot a 71 on Friday and still had the lead heading into the weekend. He shot 75 on Saturday, kind of took him out of the tournament, seemingly. But, you know, look, Rory kind of let a lot of people back into it yesterday by the way he played. And Rose closed well, 9 shots better on Sunday than he was on Saturday. You know, he's lost in 2 playoffs now at the Masters. The last 2 playoffs, 2017, Sergio Garcia, 2025, Rory McIlroy. Justin Rose is on the receiving end of both of those. He's a gold medalist, a U.S. Open winner, world-class player, probably is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But yesterday, you know, he hit a good second shot, by the way, in the playoff.
I know.
He just didn't make the putt, and McIlroy made a great, great shot in the playoff. So Rose is a world-class player. I would expect him to continue. By the way, he was in 9 months ago, the last major that was played, was a Royal Troon, the Open Championship. Justin Rose took Xander Schauffele to the mat all the way to the finish.
Right.
Almost won the Open at Royal Troon. So Justin clearly has found a little magic at 44 years of age.
I would add of Rose, he has world-class grace for how he handled and everything he said after that, after what has to just be a gutting loss, to lose twice in a playoff in Augusta. I was beyond impressed by the person.
Here's the thing about sports that one of the things that makes me so happy to be involved in sports and be such a big sports fan is when you see things like that. Jack was the greatest champion of all time. He's also the most gracious loser of all time. Mm-hmm. And that's important in sports.
Yeah.
You know, when you get beat, you tip your cap to the other team, to the other guy, whoever it is, whatever the sport is, and you say, you know what, well done. There's a big difference in sports, to me anyway, between losing and getting beat. Yeah. You know, sometimes you lose and sometimes you get beat. Yesterday, Justin Rose got beat and you tip your cap. You give your guy a handshake and a hug. You tell him, well done. You move along. You don't let anybody know exactly how disappointed you are. You act with class and grace when you win.
Mm-hmm.
You act with class and grace when you lose. And Justin Rose was all class yesterday and not unexpected. I've known Justin a long time, fellas. He's a world-class player. He's also a world-class human being.
Last one from me, Steve. Bryson DeChambeau is a world-class player, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And he's so much more than just a bomber. His round yesterday scrambled his ass off.
Yeah.
He's so much more than just a bomber. I can't figure out Bryson the dude. What is he? Who is that guy?
Oh, man.
DeChambeau.
There's a lot to unpack.
Tons.
You know, look, he does it his own way, has his own style. I thought Rich Lerner said something the other day on the Golf Channel that was so true. You know what Bryson is? He's a show-off in the best of ways. He's not a bad show-off. He's a showman. He's a show-off. He's a performer. And, you know, you have to admire the fact that he goes about his business his way and no one else does it that way. And he's just that kind of guy. I've gotten to know him quite a bit. He's actually very nice. He's very bright. You know, he's a little off center. he's just a touch out of whack sometimes. But that's him, and he's consistently that way. So I admire him not only because of his greatness on the golf course and athletically, but, you know, I admire the fact that he does it his way. You know, Frank Sinatra sang My Way, and that's Bryson DeChambeau. Like it or dislike it, this is who I am, and this is what I'm going to be. And he has become, with Rory, the second or maybe the first, you know, most popular player on the planet. If we could ever get this thing together with Liv and the PGA Tour and get those guys playing together more often, now you're talking. So So hopefully that happens soon.
And Bryson's absolutely compelling television and a hell of a character in the drama. Sands, you know me. I'm just so happy for Rory, dude. I know how busy you are, and I really appreciate you making time for us on the Monday after the Masters, dude.
Appreciate you, brother, man.
Please, don't be silly. I don't care about you, JP. Anything for Brian.
Well, that's why B texted you this time, because you're not saying no to him. Me, it might have been like, yeah, I got a flight, dude. I don't know.
Hey.
Whether we're having beers at a bar or talking on the radio, I have a hard time saying no, as you know, JP. I'm never saying no to you guys, but listen, man, the Masters is special. You guys have a special show. I love DC, and I love you guys very much. And I appreciate you having me on. So I appreciate it.
One question. You didn't give me many bad texts last year. You had fun That's watching true. The football season?
Brian, I've been so angry for 30 years. I figured, you know, we've got ourselves a quarterback, it seems like. We've got ourselves an owner. We've got ourselves a franchise again. Let's get the stadium thing figured out. And let's get back to wearing burgundy, by the way, and not that off burgundy, whatever they're going to do with the uniform. But I've given up on the name thing, but I'm not giving up on the burgundy. It's not burgundy. Come on. I like our uniforms, but they don't look burgundy to me. So let's get our colors back. I don't know. I didn't want to bother you too much, but we played well, man.
Oh, good times, man.
It was fun. You know what else? I'm not looking back in anger anymore.
No sophomore slump, by the way. I don't want a CJ Stroud sophomore slump here from Jaden.
Not going
to
have one, dude.
Come on.
That kid's wired different. I also got to talk to Buzz Williams yesterday, Steve, and I was very impressed, and it's onward and upward in College Park.
Well, that's another passion of mine, as you know, JP, and that was an ugly, ugly exit, my man.
Sure was. But what?
Now, everything in sports in collegiate level is transactional. I get it. But you don't, as our friend Scott Van Pelt said, you don't need to take a poop on the front porch of the house you've been living in the last 3 years on your way out. You can leave with grace as well. Just like Justin Rose yesterday. I like Kevin. He's a friend of mine. And I probably think that over a few beers, he would tell you, "Ooh, I didn't handle that one well." But, you know, I wish him well at Villanova. But that exit was ugly. And we're onward. There's a buzz in College Park, baby. Let's go.
We're buzzing, baby. Thank you, Sands. Appreciate you,
buddy. All right, brother.
All right, fellas. Be good.
Take care, man.
That's our guy, Steve Sands from the Golf Channel. Absolute legend. Absolute legend. We're going to talk big picture, big sports moments and what Rory accomplished, how it stacks up against others. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. During the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today, and you'll get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. From three-pointers to steals to assists, FanDuel has so many ways to bet your favorite player props. Plus, after the game tips off, you can even combine live bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to get in on all the NBA play-in tournament action. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, White Brian, give us the news here, buddy. Apparently, Landfill won the pool, but I'd like to – the only things you need to point out, it's how Jeff got screwed, Landfill won, and whoever came in dead last. That's the only information we need.
No, we need the person that came in second to dead last, too.
Nah, just dead last.
Nah. You like that position, huh? If you're not first, you're last. Only person we need to talk about is Landfill.
White Brian?
Yeah, Landfill won, and B. Mitch came in dead last.
I told you didn't have to say that.
Give the scores. I mean, Landfill did really well. I was dead last for a while. How did B overtake me?
Yeah. Who dropped off for me? No, what's going to be?
Matsuyama had a really good Sunday. So did Rom.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, B Mitch. Will Zalatoris just really.
Zalatoris sucks.
Thank you.
I'll never use him.
What was
again.
B's team?
Yeah, Justin Thomas, Ashka Bhatia, Will Zalatoris, and Diga.
Bhatia sucked too.
Igala.
So you had two miscuts?
No, he only had one.
I had one miscut, but they did nothing else. Plus four was one, and one. Degala was even, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did Jeff have? Jeff got Jeff believes he was wronged.
Yeah, Jeff Koepka really sank him, and Cantlay had a he did fine, but he shot one over.
And who did you have, White Brian?
I had Neiman, who really fell off after I took him when he had the lead on day one.
Yeah, I told you he was going to fall off.
Ludvig.
Joaquin. You also cheated taking him because he was two under when we were doing our draft.
And but you thought, never told him he couldn't.
You didn't cheat. You tried to take advantage and got bit in the ass for it. That's an accurate description.
There you go. Yeah.
I did. One of my friends said he took him to win because he's been playing well. So I also had that thought process. But
oh, you did?
Also, Victor Hovland and then Brian Harman. And I was between Brian Harman and Rose, and I took Harman. So I blame myself.
Yeah.
That your wife is named Rose, and you didn't take Rose?
It was between my name or her name, and I should have gone with
Rose. And you chose your name?
Yeah.
Damn. No wonder you're not a dog mom. all right. A lot happened this weekend, and it's what was Landfill's team?
Scotty, Xander, Shane Lowry, and Tommy Fleetwood.
Did you say Zhang?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Yo, White Pride just makes odd noises sometimes. Congratulations, Landfill.
Thank you. Shane Lowry did everything he could to lose me that.
Sure did.
Everything he possibly could.
Speaking of doing everything they possibly can, Bill Belichick's girlfriend is on the field.
What is her problem? Let the man coach. That's damn.
Odd. That's odd. Here's what I want to do, though. Jeffrey, hit the button. Let's open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. We're going to get back to football and baseball and hockey and everything else. Rory's win yesterday. I just saw this tweet from Shane Bacon, golf reporter. He said, the things that he did to think about of significant magnitude from 2000, from this millennia, mm-hmm. right? Tiger winning the Masters in 2019. When the Red Sox broke through to beat the Yankees in 04. I remember exactly mm-hmm. where I was for that. Rory's win yesterday. LeBron, when they were down 3-1 in the finals to beat Steph, was incredible.
Yeah.
When the Cubs broke a 120-year curse or whatever to win a World Series, what else belongs on that list? I wonder if Ovi breaking Wayne Gretzky's
record belongs there.
Belongs on that list? Yeah. You tell us, 800-636-1067, where does Rory's Grand Slam ranked?